This is
power. You're listening to Power in Heels. What do fashion and farming have in common? Well, these two sisters from Manitoba are challenging exactly what it means to look like a farmer, and they have built an Instagram following of over 34.5 thousand people in the process. Let's learn exactly how they did it. We are so pleased to welcome Cassandra and Stephanie Lepp to the show.
I feel like it's only fitting that we start with talking about where your passion and love for both farming and fashion came from.
Well, I guess I went to business school and I wanted to work at our dad's manufacturing company. He owns Springland Manufacturing with his two brothers. So I went to business school to work there, and I did work there. But while going to school, I started farming and I just really enjoyed it. So I continued on after and worked at both Springland and the farm. And then now it's solely the farm, but someday hopefully back at Springland because I also love the marketing.
Yeah. And then I always wanted to be a model growing up, but our town is like 1,000 people. So nobody's thinking about the fashion industry there. And I was pretty insecure. So I didn't actually start doing anything to do with modeling till I was 21, I think. And I went to a scouting competition and I got scouted there, and I signed with an agency for about a year and went to Vancouver and stuff. And then I was driving into Winnipeg once a week, which is 3 hours from us, and then starting to farm more too. And I actually went to school for graphic design and web development because I also thought I'd go work for Springland and do marketing there. I hated working on the computer all day long, and I realized I really liked working in the tractor and being outside way more. So yeah, the modeling just got too much, driving there once a week, and then the farm responsibilities kind of got more and more, so I decided to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. And I mean, I'm sure our listeners are curious about the farm itself. A lot of them are not farmers, so they don't really know much about it. So I don't know if you want to explain a little bit.
Yeah, we just have solely grain. So on our farm this year, we just grew barley, canola, and soybeans. And every year we rotate crops, but generally it's those three. Yeah, just grain farming, no cattle or anything. And I think we're fourth generation farmers. So.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's cool.
I mean, that's quite a common thing too here in Canada is, you know, farming that it's been there forever and it's, you know, gone down the family line, and it's a big thing. So you also, I assume you both grew up on the farm then?
Actually, our dad and mom moved us off the farm pretty early. Like Steph would have been one and I would have been five. Our dad is an avid water skier. He loves it. He's a tournament skier, and he moved to the lake and he wanted separation from work and farming and family, because it's a big challenge to work with your family, I think also. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted to be away from it, like have a way to just go home and actually be at home, not still on the farm. So we actually grew up at the lake,
yep,
which is 15 minutes from the farm.
Oh, that's so, I never even realized that. That's really cool.
Thank you to our sponsor, Mackenzie Lake Lawyers.
I know there's a phrase that you guys probably hear quite often, and I know a lot of female farmers have heard it before, and it is, you don't look like a farmer.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, like, what that means to you? And when you hear that, and I've heard that myself personally, which is like, what? But it just, I know that it's a common phrase and a lot of women hear that. What does that mean to you?
Growing up, our dad never put those stereotypes on us. He always told us we could do whatever we wanted. But when we were both working for Springland, we'd go to trade shows a couple times, a few of them during the summer. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we were introduced to that whole stereotype. Some guys wouldn't even want to talk to us about the product we were selling. They would ask for a man, or like, you didn't even see other girls walking the shows or selling equipment like we were. And then even if we walked around the shows, sales guys wouldn't come up to us like they would our dad. Like they didn't think we'd have any interest in it. So yeah, that's really where we were like, we should start a page like to show people, because it was very eye-opening to us.
Mm-hmm. So is that kind of where you got the idea then to merge fashion with farming and start this page? Or can you talk to us a little bit more about how that idea all came to life?
I would say it was definitely inspired by working with, like, being a marketing team for the UTL 40 at Springland, because it was actually mind-blowing how many times it happened where men just wouldn't believe us.
And or they'd say we were just the farm wife.
The one time a man actually fought with me, like it was kind of aggressive the way he was being. He said, there's no way you run your farm, it's your husband's farm. And my husband is like a computer guy. Like, he runs a marketing agency, and he's on the computer 24/7.
The fact that they would say that to you too.
Yeah. And like, he was adamant that there's no way we were running the farm. And I think there is still that stereotype in certain groups of people. And we wanted to change that conversation, because I think the percentage is 28% of women are working or running a farm, which is a big chunk. So why aren't we talking about it?
Exactly.
And then adding the fashion side, we I've always been interested in fashion, and then Sandra too. And we like photography and being creative that way. But it was also a way for us to build our audience. So we weren't just talking to other farmers. We were talking to people in more urban areas, and maybe able to change that conversation about different misconceptions in agriculture.
Yeah. And I also think that there still is a misconception that farmers are hillbillies, they aren't smart. And that is so far from the truth. Like, farmers are accountants, they're managers, there's so many things, and they're very intelligent people that can pretty much do anything they want, because they're always
problem solving.
Like, farming is a constant problem solving situation, and they're just incredible people. So the fashion side, showing that, I think, even though people thought it was weird at the start, it helps show that they're not just one-dimensional people that are just farmers in the dirt. That's only a small part of the job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you're completely right. Farmers are definitely some of the most multi-skilled people, and you have to be. You have to know, you know, how to run the business on the business side. You have to be, you know, basically a scientist, because you need to know all these really intense things. And if you work with animals, you have to be like partially a vet. You have to, you're a mechanic, because you have to fix everything that breaks on you. And it's just, there's so many things that are constantly coming up. And I really love this idea that you guys took to kind of like take something like fashion that people think is like fashion, farming, like that's not at all the same. And it definitely comes from two very different places, but to push them together, like you just said, like really challenges that idea. Now I do want to ask the name of the Instagram, Tulips. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, obviously that's a play on your last name, but where does the first part of that come from?
You want to tell?
There was an autistic boy in our town. He's actually the same age as me, I think. But he used to, when he saw us, would call us the Tulips.
Oh,
so it stuck, and we were like, that is genius.
Yeah, and the marketing for it. It's like,
we can't take any.
No, but I majored in marketing on my business degree, and I just, like, you can market that really well, and it's easy to market.
Oh, and I love it. Like, I love the plan words when companies do that. So just the name, I love it. It's great.
That's a really sweet story. Yeah, where that came from. That's awesome. Wow.
Definitely not our idea, but we love it.
Now, what are some of the biggest challenges that you two face when it comes to your platform and also just content creation in general?
I would say the time. Like, it's a lot of time. I don't think people realize how much time and effort goes into it. And we're also farming full time. So I would say that's a challenge, but our shoots are pretty quick, and we've learned to kind of batch them now. So we'll just take a suitcase of clothes and like have a batched photo shoot, and Stephanie does all the photos. So we don't have to like organize anybody. It's just the two of us out there with a timer and the camera most of the time. So we just try and knock it out.
But now with the introduction of reels, it's very difficult.
We're definitely in a transition stage right now. And we got to like learn. The photos are pretty easy for us to do. Like, we both feel like confident knocking those out, but the videos and TikTok just feel very competitive, and we're not good at videos yet. So we got to work on it.
It just takes a lot more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty like a big shock when Instagram made that change to like with the algorithm and everything, and they're really pushing for videos. And
I know,
especially when you're more photo based too.
Yeah,
like all people.
We're not into it right now. We're like a little.
I don't blame you.
Yeah,
especially because it's like our reels that we put the most effort into seem to do the worst.
Yeah,
like the one we just put up 2 days ago. It's like, I thought it was so good. Like, no views.
I think like we've come to a point, we've been doing this since 2018, and we know like if we put a picture up, we kind of know how it's going to do in the videos. It's like, it's no such, idea. Like,
such a free-for-all.
For example, we put so much effort into this last one we put up, and it got barely any more views than my personal account. And then we put up one that took 3 minutes to film, and it was just like the Forrest Gump one, 400,000 views.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how
we don't works. Understand it yet.
And I don't care to research about the algorithm and what it wants. Like, I'm not into that. Like, I'd rather just be creating and working. Like, I'm not going to put any effort into what the algorithm wants. We're just going to put out what we're doing and hope for the best.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's really hard. Like, it's a whole different ball game from what what it used to be, and you kind of have to relearn, which is just frustrating.
It feels not very easy. Overwhelming this year for some reason to me. It feels very competitive.
Like, the introduction of TikTok just seems
so much content out there. It's very crazy.
Do you think maybe, and I hate to like bring up the pandemic because everybody talks about the pandemic all the time because you know it's a big thing, but do you think maybe that has something to do with this increased, you know, amount of people that are on these platforms and people who have turned to creating content who are like, you know what, I'm going to give this a try because I have this time now because of the, you know, like, do you think that maybe has something to do with
it? I definitely think so. And I think people are craving connection because you can't see anybody, or you couldn't, like now maybe we're opening up a bit more, but definitely think people were craving connection. And now there's like too much social media, I feel, because like, it's a lot, like it's a lot going on right now.
Speaking also about like pandemic in general, farming in the pandemic, I mean, it still had to continue. A lot of other businesses shut down and closed their doors for a while, but you know, farming doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, wait for any pandemic or anything to pass. How was that for you guys?
Honestly, it was kind of nice. We're pretty remote, so I feel like our life didn't change that much. We didn't get to do things we like to do in the winter, like go away, but overall, like, we were really lucky and our everyday work life was the same.
Yeah, it didn't really change much.
We work with our dad, so we got to see our family the whole time.
Nice.
So I'm not complaining about that at all, because we're also remote and we live in the country and our neighbors are half mile away, so we also felt super safe the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
And then super lucky with our dad's manufacturing company too. Yeah. Because they're considered essential also. So they were able to keep working and
knock on wood, they didn't have any outbreaks and everyone was safe. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, we feel like we like kind of just coasted through pretty easy.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah, definitely got the lucky end there. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Coming up next on Power in Heels.
Yeah, he's like, you realize I'm famous.
And so we're not famous, we're just farmers that post.
Now, I guess going back to your Instagram, a lot of content creators will sometimes turn their Instagram into a profit. Is this something that you guys do or something maybe you want to do? And I guess how realistic is this goal for others to achieve?
Like, we haven't made it a full-time job. We do work with companies. We've worked with McDonald's before. Like, that's probably the biggest company we've worked with. We love to support local businesses, so we'll often team up with a local business and work with them and make a little bit of profit, because it's a lot of work to create content. I think people don't realize that, like, and especially when you're working with a company, you really want to knock it out of the park. Like, you want to really make sure it's like a quality campaign. Yeah. So we have monetized it a little bit that way, but as far as making it a full-time job, I don't know if I would ever feel confident with that, because for ourselves, I think our followers really like just following our life and they don't want to be sold something every second day. So we like do like maybe one marketing post a week
or not even
sometimes. Yeah. So it's more our lifestyle page, and we sometimes make a profit off a few posts a month. So it's a nice little side hustle, I guess.
Yeah, I think like, and we did our necklaces too. Mm-hmm. I think that's more comfortable for us than just like selling products that like, I don't want to sell something that I wouldn't use or.
Yeah. So we're definitely selective with that, but our followers were really, really supportive of the necklace we just came out with. And that was our first product, and it was pretty cool to do that. So I think we'll do a couple more product launches like that. They liked it and it was fun to do. So
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And I mean, that keeps it authentic because I think audiences, they can tell, they know when something's more authentic, they know when they're being sold. So for doing what you guys are doing and keeping it true to yourselves and really just about you and about your life. And then if you do have to like kind of push something or sell something, it is a product that you guys truly do believe in.
I eat McDonald's. I'm going to eat it.
I mean, who doesn't love McDonald's?
Yeah, exactly.
McDonald's, sponsor us, please.
And actually, the McDonald's campaign goes really well with what we're doing because McDonald's supports farmers. That's a big push for their marketing. Yeah, so it was a really good fit, and our followers really engaged with that. So we definitely choose things based on that too, because I mean, they know when we're selling them something that we wouldn't use or that maybe they wouldn't like.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, there are so many, you know, influencers who I did like the air quotes there, but who will just sell you anything or partner with random companies. And I think that, you know, keeping it authentic to you guys is definitely important, and it's clearly working. So that's definitely
Our demographic is hilarious because it's half men and half women. Like it's pretty much 50-50 usually all the time. And like there's farmers on there, and then there's like girls that are just city girls, which is totally fine. Like the dynamic or the demographic on there is just, there's a lot of different people, and that's awesome. That's what we wanted. But to target that to a specific company and niche is sometimes a little difficult too. So
yeah, I actually wanted to ask about that, your demographic, because it is such a wide demographic and you have a bunch of different people from different places and, you know, industries. Does that change how you release your content and like the way that you caption things or the way that you explain things or anything like that?
I think we are the least, like
we just put out our life.
Everyone's like, what is your strategy? We're like, strategy.
Our strategy is strategy? Our life. Like we just post about our life. And if you find it interesting, then you're gonna follow us. And if you don't, that's okay. We're not gonna try and bend for anybody. Like there's a lot of farmers following us and there's a lot of non-farmers following us, and sometimes like we often will post things that are a little simplified for the non-farmers because that's kind of what we want to show people what farm life is about and explain it to them in a way that they'll understand so that they can learn something from us that's not super technical. So sometimes maybe the farmers are like, well, that was a really simple way to explain it. But it teaches people.
So. They already know.
Yeah, and they already know. So
we're not gonna teach them anything.
Yeah, they'll like the picture and move on. Maybe.
Yeah, I guess we try to keep it pretty like equal.
And our stories, we try to keep very authentic. Like if we're doing something, we're just filming at once and it's a one take. And if we look dirty,
yeah,
and
we
mess,
try not to have filters or anything.
Yeah. I guess a strategy for us is really showing little girls that your value is the same, whether you're glamorous, full fashion mode, or you're dirty and not wearing makeup. Like the media really doesn't push that. And that's what we want to show. Like you're the same person both ways and you have the same value both ways.
Sorry to interrupt. How do you continue to post regularly? Because I know that's a really big issue, especially even just with Whitney and I with Power and Heels, like posting new and fresh ideas on a regular basis is difficult. So how do you guys go about doing that?
Yeah, it definitely is hard. This year was, I think, our worst year for posting because we were separated in February, March, for 2 months. And then in the summer, we're
just so busy.
So busy, and we just didn't focus on it as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've started doing like batched photo shoot days where we get at least like 5 photos at once. Mm-hmm. So then at least we're not panicking to get one every single day. The first year we would make sure that we posted every single day, and we would just take the picture that day, edit it quick and put it up.
Because that at the time, like that was 2018, and one of the Instagram people we followed who had a big following, she said you really have to be consistent and you should post every day at that time. So we did that, and we did grow that first year. I think we were at 10 or 15,000 in the first year.
Wow.
It was a lot of work to post every single day, but we did it.
Yeah.
But this year we probably post like 4 times a week. That's what we're trying to stick with because then we're there, but it's not as exhausting.
Now you're talking a little bit about your growth, especially in your first year, when you kind of first hit those big numbers, what was your reaction? Because of course, like that jump, it, it happens progressively, but there is a point where you go, oh my God, like this is getting big. Like, what was that? When did you actually first think about that and go, oh my gosh, like this is exciting?
Probably 10,000. I was like, whoa, what are these people following us for? Oh my gosh. The funniest thing though to me is that, like, we did a podcast last week actually, and the girl's husband was like, the tulips are famous.
Yeah, he's like, you realize they're famous.
And he lives like an hour from us, and we're not famous. We're just farmers that post. Honestly, it's hilarious. Like, we do have people the odd time come up to us and like say, oh wow, you're the tulips, which is really cool. Like, I love when we meet people and we've touched their life, or their daughter is inspired by us. Like, it's really cool. So I don't know. I would say that probably started happening around 10,000 people.
That's really cool.
That's when I felt like, wow, this is growing into something. We have the swipe up link.
Oh yes. Yeah. When you get that, you know you've made it.
Yeah. Whoa.
So how do you ensure or make people come back? Like, people will scroll through their page or their go to the explore page and they'll see, you know, different accounts. But how do you get them to look at your photos and then realize, oh, you know what, I want to follow you guys? Because it's hard to do that. Like, Whitney and I know firsthand, it's hard to get people to not only find our account or find our podcast, but then also to follow and subscribe and think that you want to stay.
I don't know.
I think that that's a little bit by accident for us, because we are very different than anyone else for the most part. We're like a little tiny niche and we're weird. I think it's kind of by accident that people will follow us, because we're catching their interest because we're so different. And our stories, I think, are very relatable. That would be, I think, one of our strengths is that we're just us on our stories.
Sometimes we're disaster.
Sometimes we're a mess. And like, we show that, like, we're like, oh, the sprayer broke down 8 times this week and the mechanic's been out all day. Like, that happened to us this summer and we posted about it, and there we had farmers saying like, oh, our sprayer never breaks down. I'm like, that's not true. Farms are a mess sometimes, and we had a hard season, and we show it. Like, we're in it and we're showing it. People find that relatable, so I think that's part of it too.
Yeah, I don't know. We are not very good at like getting into the nitty gritties of
why people
follow or how to get them to follow. It's like, we'll just post this right now and hopefully it goes well.
Yeah, we just kind of, we wing it, honestly.
Honestly, it's kind of nice to see like others just winging it, because influencers and content creators, they have like a strategy. And I genuinely, like, I'm kind of outing Whitney and I, like, I wish we had like a hardcore strategy, but sometimes we just wing it and we see, okay, let's see how this performs or like what happens. But yeah.
I think it's too overwhelming for us to have a hardcore strict thing to follow.
We can't keep up with it. Just our main strategy is to be consistently posting.
Yeah. As long as we show up, we feel successful.
Hopefully you come along for the ride.
I mean, I think like listening to that, I can kind of pull like a little lesson. And this I've seen a lot. I see in younger people, you know, they look up to others who are successful or people above them, and they go, oh, they know exactly what they're doing. They, you know, but that's not true. You know, people that are successful, people who look like they know it all, they don't. Nobody knows it all. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I've definitely pulled from all of these interviews that we've done, especially from this one now. Like, people above you, they don't always know what they're doing. Not everybody has like the key to life, you know, has all the answers. Everybody else is just figuring it out as they go. So I don't think we all have to feel so bad about, you know, not always knowing the answers. So it's definitely a big lesson that I can pull from it. So talking, you know, more about, you know, the brand, the platform that you guys have built, do you have any like future dreams and aspirations for it? Do you have any like plans? Are you, you know, what are you looking at when you look to the future?
I don't know. I've always been really interested in high fashion. When I started modeling, I really wanted to be working with those big brands. So I think it would be cool if we could build it so that we were showing farmers in kind of the high fashion world. That's a very big dream.
So. That would be the biggest.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Are we organized enough to get there? Probably not.
But maybe someday. Maybe someday. You know what? This is like a quote that I heard, and I don't know who said it, and it's like wraps up our dad. It's like, don't be the one to say no to yourself. Let somebody else say no to you. And our dad lives his life that way. Like, he just can do anything all the time. Like, if he has an idea, he's just going to go do it no matter how much work it takes. And I think that's the kind of mentality you should just have throughout your life. Like, go apply for the job, go try something new, and let it be somebody else that tells you no, not you. So you're always believing in yourself. And I think that allows you to dream bigger than, that's my inspiration.
That's a good piece of advice.
That's so profound. I love that.
But that's really how, like, we were raised that way by our mom and our dad. And I don't know, I think that that's a life lesson everyone should have. I definitely struggle with insecurities as well, but that is the underlying way we were raised. So,
mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see if we get there.
Yeah.
Stars.
Slowly keep growing, hopefully.
Yeah,
get, like, better at reels, I guess.
Yeah, and honestly, like, we are on the farm a lot and we don't meet new people. And this platform has allowed us to meet new people on a pretty wide scope. And it's been really fun. And the more connections you have, the more opportunities you get. So,
yeah, we've been approached by a few companies to do certain things, but we'll see if anything happens.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll reconnect in about 5 years when you guys are just taking the high fashion world by storm. We'll just be like, we knew them, you know. No, I see it happening.
Oh, totally.
Hey, everybody, it's Whitney here. I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for more step-by-step guides to success from powerful women every single week.
I want to do a little fun thing where I'm going to ask you a few questions that kind of fit into your Instagram photos. So I just have three. And the first one is, what was the most challenging photo to take?
Oh,
challenging.
Most challenging. Anything involving horses. Like, horses are so ugly unless you know how to photograph them.
I guess every one is like a workout for me, especially if I have to climb on something, because we really need to get a remote for the camera, but we stick with just the timer and
you just like sprint
the button and just run.
Yeah, like a lot of them are just running, and if we're it gets hectic, we've fallen down multiple times.
The barley down our pants, that was a struggle. It was very itchy.
It was a rash for 3 days afterwards. I was covered in gold bond, so that was probably that one was the worst, but the picture turned out really nice.
I guess all that matters.
I really like the picture. And then to follow up with that, the Christmas one with the like
pine cones.
For people who don't know, there was a series where we did just like shirts, like we did a flower shirt, and then we wanted to make it into a series. So we did the fall one with barley, and then we did the Christmas one with evergreens, and that one was also very painful. That was,
yeah. And of course we like shot those ourselves too. So I would go to the camera, click it, and then run back with these evergreens in my pants.
Yeah.
It was hard.
The spring one was tulips, and that one went a lot smoother.
We had a photographer also.
So yeah, maybe barley and evergreens down your pants. Love the photos.
That is the definition of do it for the Instagram right there.
It was worth it.
My second question is your ultimate favorite one. I don't know if you both have different ones or the same, but
there's so many I forget.
There's one of us pressure washing the combine. It's actually kind of old, and I really like that one. It's
that one goes over very well too. People love that.
I'm spraying the pressure washer, so there's like water everywhere, and we're in farm clothes, and Steph's like leaning out. I don't know, that one has really good aesthetics to me. I really like it, and it's an older picture. Yeah, I like the ones where it's like we look too girly to be farming, but we are farming sometimes too.
Those are cool. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last question is, which post was the most out of your comfort zone?
I'm pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have insecurities, but they're not with posting pictures. Like, if I like it, I'm going to post it. So
I guess not posting, but just doing the shoot.
Yeah. Even like just, fashion.
Yeah. That's
our
true.
Most awkward time. Well, there's two. They're kind of similar. Before we worked with McDonald's, we were doing a batch of photos, and we just did like 10 pictures, I think, all over Brandon. And we decided to do one in the mall and then one in this McDonald's. And we were sitting, and of course, timer again, no remote, tripod in McDonald's.
Yeah, those are uncomfortable.
Those are,
talking to people, like just posting a picture, I'm not uncomfortable with that. But yeah, people looking at us while we're taking a photo is excruciatingly uncomfortable.
Yeah, like in the mall food court and a McDonald's restaurant.
Yeah, and trying to look fierce while eating a burger while 10 people staring at you is just
and like, holding a fry, like, oh, it's just so
it's just
awkward.
Not a vibe you want. No.
Oh my god.
And then in the winter we did that again. We went to this blue wall and it ended up being like a plumbing place. And they drove by us as we were taking the photos. We're like, yep.
Yeah, hi sir.
And then we went like two blocks away to this pink wall and did changed outfits photo. In the truck, as you do. And then the same guy drove by again. And we're like,
hi sir. Yeah. Yeah, so that would be the weirdest. Yeah. But lucky for us, most of them are taken on the farm and like there's nobody watching. So that's
yeah,
a great advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's definitely something to say there. Like I see a lot of people and even young people, they make their TikToks in public and they're doing their dances.
Oh yeah.
Posing and props to them for having the confidence, because I cannot. Taking a picture in public is the most embarrassing thing. I just can't do it.
You know what? So. It's one thing if you have a photographer taking your picture,
totally
then
it looks like
it's for something. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just like got your tripod
on
set
your
up.
Timer and it's like beep, 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 beep.
And you're like, yeah, wow. Anyway,
it doesn't feel good.
Nothing is uncomfortable to do after doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, as much as I would love to keep talking about that, I probably have to move on. I guess I just want to ask if there's any advice that you would like to give to our listeners or anybody who wants to hear, you know, about entering this sort of mix between farming and fashion and content creation.
I think being consistent is the biggest if you're starting off with an account anywhere. Combining fashion and farming, there's actually been quite a few accounts pop up in the last year that are kind of doing that, so that's cool. So it is
becoming a thing. Yeah, for sure. I would say just be unapologetically yourself and really, like, if that's something you love, just put it out there. Like, don't listen to anybody that's criticizing you, because people want to hear stories from people who are different. Like, they like that. And one thing I heard from my husband's aunt, she started one of the biggest farms in Iowa with her husband at the time when she was like 20 years old. And she said the reason she loves our page is because we aren't angry feminists. We aren't apologizing for it. We're just out there farming. She's like, I love that, because a lot of feminists come off angry. Like, feminism itself is like a bad word because it's got a negative connotation. And she just said, you guys are just out there farming and you're showing little girls that you can just go farm. You don't have to apologize. Nothing against the term farm her, but it's like, we don't really identify with it.
Yeah,
we are just farmers. Like,
yeah.
I'm just a farmer. I don't need a farm her name. I don't know. Just be unapologetically yourself.
And yeah, there's always something different that you can share that somebody's going to like, and just a different way of telling your story.
Yeah.
Just not like copying what somebody else is doing.
Yeah, be inspired by other people, but just stay true to who you are.
For sure. Yeah. Now, I guess just to wrap up the interview, do you have any advice for any young women who may be listening, or words of wisdom, anything that you want to share with them?
As Nike says, just do it.
Just go do it. I think even though we live in 2021, society still pushes that women can't do things, and you absolutely can.
You can do many different things.
Yeah.
Like, our mom was a nurse and then she had Cassandra and fell asleep driving home because she was working at three different hospitals and working all these crazy shifts, and our dad was like, yeah, you can't do this anymore. So she went back to school and became a teacher and then retired from that, and now she has a wedding business, a wedding decorating business. So yeah, it's like, people think you're that one thing that you do. Like, you can be many different things.
Our dad's everything.
Dad does everything.
Yeah. just go do it. Like, and stop criticizing people. Stop. Like, just go do it. do what you want to do and don't listen to anybody who thinks you can't.
I love that. That's some really, really great advice. And I mean, something that I think a lot of us need to hear more often and get really drilled into us. But yeah, thank you guys so much.
Well, thanks for having us.
You guys are awesome. You're inspiring so many people and you're sharing, you know, a lot about a world that a lot of people don't understand, and you're just really there and you're making a difference. So thank you so much for talking to us today.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
That's all for today's episode. Thank you for being a part of our audience and network. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and of course, if you have any ideas for our show, you can chat directly with us on our website.
This is.